Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Like I said, we've been teaching for the past several weeks on the power of the tongue. We've taught variations of it. We talked about the fact that you have saying power. We talked about what happens, how your words can limit God from working in your life and open the door for the devil to work. We're going to continue along that theme, except today I'm going to show you something, a secret to really receiving from God those things which he promised you and which he has desired to bless you. And the subject of the title of our message today is called The Shout of Faith. Say the Shout of Faith. Now, I told y'all the title of the message is The Shout of Faith, and then I told y'all to say it, and then y'all just went, The Shout of Faith. The Shout of Faith. Say it with me.
Shout of faith.
Say it a little louder.
Shout of faith.
There you go. Let's act like we Pentecostals in here. Praise God.
Amen.
Do I need to send y'all to the Episcopalian church down the street?
Hallelujah.
Damn, that's better. That's better. Yeah. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13 with me. Begin at verse 14. And it says, Let me explain the background just a little bit to you. During this period of time, Israel had been one nation under King David and under King Solomon. But then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, took over the kingdom after Solomon died. Mm-hmm. And Rehoboam was young, and you know how many of us, when we're in our late teens, early 20s, we don't know our butt from a hole in the ground. And that was basically Rehoboam. And so the people came to Rehoboam and told him, listen, your father, he was pretty hard on us. He tasked us, you know, lighten our burden is all we ask. Mm-hmm. And so Rehoboam went to the advisors who were older men who had been under Solomon, who understood wisdom, praise God. And they told him, they said, listen to the people and do as they ask. Now, Rehoboam just figured these are a bunch of old fogies. They don't know what they're talking about, the way some of y'all young people act today. Mm-hmm. And so he went to his boys. Yeah. He went to his partners. And he said, yo, peas, check this out. The people, they want me to lighten a burden on them. What do you think I should do? And his boys told him, they said, yo, dog, listen. Tell them that you're going to increase it. If your father did three times, you're going to increase it by six times.
Yeah.
And so he went, instead of going with the older men's advice, he went with his boys and went out there and tried to jump bad with them and said, hey, if my father did this, I'm going to do this. If my father beat you with whips, I'm going to beat you with scorpions and with snakes. Oh, that didn't make the people very happy. And so then that became a civil war. There was a division in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So Judah, the tribe of Judah, split from the rest of the tribes of Israel. And Judah became its own nation. And Israel became a separate nation. Rehoboam ruled Israel. Jeroboam ruled Judah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, And if you want to know why the people called Israelites Jews, because they came from Judah, praise God. That's the reason. That's the reason for the name Jew. They come because they came from Judah. But going further, later on, there was, you know, Rehoboam not being the very smart guy that he should have been. Not much like his daddy. He decided to start setting up all kinds of idol worship in Israel. And so then a war broke out between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And since Rehoboam and Israel was against God, guess whose side God was on?
Jews.
On Judah's side, praise God. And so we get down to verse 14 where the war is ongoing. And it says, and when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And look at this, and they cried unto the Lord. See, Judah was, Israel was actually waxing them at the time. They was winning. But then Judah cried unto the true God. And the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah, listen to this, gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So God smote Jeroboam, and I got that mixed up. It was actually Jeroboam that set up the idol worship. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But see, God smote them and delivered. And look at verse 16. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Praise God. So the victory came when the people shouted. Praise God.
Amen.
When did the victory come? When did the victory come?
When did the victory come?
When did that victory come?
When the people shout.
When they shouted!
Amen.
Praise God. When is the victory going to come for you?
When we shout.
When you shout, praise God. Now, they prayed. See, notice they prayed. They started out praying. They cried to the Lord. You need to do that too. But you find out, and we told you a couple of weeks ago, that praying is not enough. We looked at Moses. Moses, when they were stuck at the Red Sea, Moses began praying. And God got upset with Moses for praying. He said, why are you crying out to me? He said, take that rod that's in your hand and stretch it over the over this ocean, and I will divide it. Praise God.
Yeah.
Sometimes what happens, we're praying, but we don't show any kind of faith. Praying is not a demonstration of faith. Praise God. Amen. You can pray, and you can pray without faith. You can pray the same thing every single day. Let's just take the need for a job, for example, because we all been in that situation. Day one, God, give me a job. Please give me a job in Jesus' name. I got my wife and my children to feed. God, please, 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 please give me a job. Well, brother, how's it going? I don't know. I ain't got a job. Next day, God, please. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I applied for all these jobs and I ain't got no call yet. God, please help me in Jesus' name. Walking down the street. Hey, John, how you doing? I don't know, man. I'm just going through right now. I ain't even got a job. Third day. God, please, please, please give me a job. Is that person in faith? Is that person in faith?
No.
No. That person does not believe God. He's not sure God's going to give him a job. He's begging and pleading with God to give him a job. But whenever somebody asks him, he says he don't know. He don't know why he's not getting the job. He instead of him constantly asking God for a job, he is to say, thank you, Jesus, for providing me a job in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You're not limited by your education. You're not limited by your official status in this country. You're not limited by your citizenship. You're not limited by your origin, where you were born. You are limited by your faith or lack thereof. Praise God.
Amen.
What you have to learn to do is not just cry out to the Lord. See, Judah didn't just cry out to the Lord. They shouted, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouted in faith. And it was after they shouted in faith that God turned the battle around to their favor. Glory to God. Yeah. When I was a young Christian back in the 80s, about to get my age away, I ain't gonna tell y'all I'm 52, but when I was a young Christian back in the 80s, Walter Hawkins had a song out. It was called "Don't Wait Till the Battle Is Over to Shout Now, because in the end, we're going to win." Amen. So, that is a biblical truth. Don't wait until your spiritual battle is over. How many of y'all know that we are in a spiritual warfare?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age? Glory to God.
Amen.
Many of us are in a battle. We're going through trials right now. But see, you are not to wait until the battle is over, and then you begin to do your praise dance. Oh, glory to God. God got me free. Oh, glory to hallelujah. No. You do that. You need to do that in the midst of your battle. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, Christians, we got to be an example to the world. See, the world, when they're going through, they ain't got no hope. They ain't got nobody to turn to because they don't believe in Jesus. Or some of them believe in Jesus, they believe in the wrong idea about Jesus. Some of them believe in God, but they don't really have any faith in God or any relationship with God. You and I, who have a relationship with God, we don't need to be acting like the world. Now, when the world is going through situations, they got their head down. They want everybody to know what they're going through. They're dealing with their issues. They're visiting their psychiatrists. They're taking their depression pills. You ain't got no business doing that. You need to have joy on your face no matter what you're going through. Praise God.
Amen.
And people need to know that God is with you no matter what. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, if you are going to be just as down as people are when you're going through your issues, then you need to stop wondering why when you invite them to church, they ain't coming. I'm going through, man. I don't know what to do with myself. By the way, you know, Sunday we got church at 11. You want to come? Man, don't nobody want to come to your church. You acting like that? See, I'll never forget. And I'm not bragging on myself, amen? I'm trying to teach y'all an example because I wasn't always like this. So that's why I'm going to tell y'all the good parts. I ain't going to tell y'all the messed ups, how messed up I really was. But no, I do. Y'all, you know that. But I remember some years ago when I was really going through a situation, I was in the military. And I was getting dogged out big time. I'm not talking about by a little master sergeant or whoever who was always on my case. I had a full bird colonel constantly on my back, as well as a chief master sergeant and a senior master sergeant. Many of y'all have never been in the military. You may not know those ranks, but those are some high ranks. And a couple of times, because I didn't come through with some things that they wanted me to at the time that they wanted them done, they would ream me up one side and down the other. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, just screaming and hollering. They would curse my butt out. And I would have to stand there at attention and take it. Because if I act like I was from Trenton, New Jersey, I would have been in jail. Amen.
Yeah.
Which I thought about doing on so many occasions, but thank God that the Holy Spirit restrained me. And I would stand. And they would chew me out in front of everybody in my particular section. I mean, one time the man came down and he went off on me, just cussed me out, and I stood there with a stone face and took it.
Yeah.
And then, after he walked out and slammed the door, I smiled and I actually started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people looked at me in amazement. They said,
Troy, how could you do that?
One girl said, Troy, if that was me, I would have been crying right now. I told him, God is on my side. Oh, God will take care of me.
Amen. Sticking you up.
Amen. 2 weeks later, we'll get to that part. Since y'all interested in that one, Mars. 2 weeks later, the young lady who told me that she was going, that she would have cried, decided to start going to church with me.
Amen.
Went to church, she got saved, and she became a faithful member of that church, praise God.
Amen.
Even after I left that particular church, she was still there.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I think I turned the situation around with those people too. That same colonel who cursed me out, when he was about to leave and go to another command, I went to his dinner. I didn't have to go, but I decided I'm gonna show this man love. And when I walked out of the door, you know, he was shaking people's hands, saying, thank you for coming, blah, blah, blah. And when I started walking and got ready to shake his hand, he grabbed my hand. He said, Edwards, you're one of the best troops out there. He said, you're gonna go a long way.
Yeah.
That man respected me. Mm-hmm. He also saw one time God answer my prayer. See, during a period of time, and I just want to tell y'all this because y'all need to know how to deal with situations, how to let God give you victory in these situations. Mm-hmm. One time, because I was a token Christian in that organization, a lot of people, either if they were Christians, they weren't bold enough to say it like I was, and I got in a lot of trouble for telling the truth about my Christianity. But since I was a token Christian, and they still allowed prayer in the Air Force during that time, when we had the promotion lunches, they would ask me to pray because they couldn't find anybody else that would pray.
They're not allowed to pray now?
Well, there's some problems with that because of atheist agenda. Yeah, but as I was praying, during that period of time, we were in Okinawa, and it hadn't rained for something like, I can't remember, it was 3-5 months. And anyway, it hadn't rained for a long time, and over there, when there's no rain, we go on water rationing, which means you get to take a shower every 2 days. Unless you did pour bottled water over your head. in the tank. Yeah, they had the water tanks for that. But if you lived on the base, your water got turned off and on every 2 days, praise God. And so that made for some funky people, okay?
Soldiers, too?
Yes, sir.
Sweet.
And so during this one prayer luncheon, they started teasing me, saying, wow, Edwards, since you believe in God so much, won't you ask him to make it rain? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I will. And so then I prayed, and I said, Father, please show these people that you're real and bring rain in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so then one of them started laughing at me, saying, he's calling God his father. You better watch out. And so the colonel came over and said, that was a nice prayer, Edwards. Yeah. I said, all right. We walked outside, and it was pouring down rain.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing outside, and the colonel comes out and says, what are you doing, Edwards, admiring your rain? You see, if you trust God, you stop holding your head down. You stop letting everybody get you down, letting your boss get you down, letting all these people get you down, and you start standing up for Jesus, God will stand up for you, praise God.
Amen.
God has never failed to stand up for me as his child. And I tell you this so that you know that you have an example before you of this truth. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. See, I'd be scared to teach this stuff if I hadn't lived it, praise God. I'm telling you, because I wouldn't. It was, you know, because other men taught it to me and I put it into practice, now I have the privilege of sharing it with you, this congregation, and blessing y'all. And then y'all put it into practice. And many of you who are in here who are called to ministry will one day teach these truths as well. And you should be able to not only teach it from the Bible, because you don't want to just teach theory, you want to teach truth. Praise God.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 6.
beginning at verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now I want you to understand that God, even before they ever went and conquered Jericho, God said, "I have given that city to you already." Hallelujah. That's it. So God had already given them the city. God, see, you got to look at God's promises as already accomplished. Praise God. They're already done. The moment you ask, you should already believe that it's done. Verse 3, "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when we hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout." Say shout.
Shout.
Say shout.
Shout.
Now listen to this. God didn't say they should just shout. He said, "All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." See, when God has said that it's done, even before you see the manifestation, that's the time to shout. Praise God.
Amen.
When God has said, "The job is yours," that's the time to shout. Praise God.
Amen.
When God has said that the promotion is yours, don't wait for the boss to call you and say, "I'm giving you the promotion." You shout the moment God said, "That promotion is yours." Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God says that green card is yours, shout. Praise God, Mars.
Amen.
When God has said that nice car you've been believing him for is yours, shout. Amen. Glory to God. Testify. That's when you begin to shout. Now look at, go down to verse 16. The secret of seeing God's manifestation of your prayer is to shout before you see the manifestation with your physical eyes. If you want to demonstrate true faith, begin to shout now. Don't wait until the battle is over. Don't wait until you feel like all the doubts are gone and you see the thing in your hot little hands. You begin to shout before then. Praise God.
Amen.
Begin verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout!" Say shout.
Shout.
"For the Lord," look at this, "For the Lord has given you the city." See, now they hadn't even conquered the city yet. But Joshua told them to shout because it's already done. Glory to God.
Amen.
That's what you need to be saying to yourself. I'm shouting. Glory to God. I believe it's done. By his stripes, I'm healed if I'm sick in my body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God, I got the job. I believe God. Glory to God, this bill is paid in the name of Jesus. Shout. Hallelujah. It's the highest praise. Dance. The devil is defeated. He's under our feet. Let them hands to heaven. You've been set free. Shout for my Jesus in victory. Oh, glory to God. And the city, verse 17, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord only, Rahab the harlot, shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she had the messenger that we sent." Man, aren't you glad that all your stuff ain't recorded in the Bible that you did? I mean, Rahab, even though we're going to see her in heaven, she's still going to be known as one that was a prostitute. I'm glad they ain't going to call it, they ain't going to say, you don't read in the Bible, Troy the whoremonger. Praise God. Anyways, go on. That was just a sidestep there. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron and consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the sanctuary, so the into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted. Say shout it.
Shout it.
Say shout it.
Shout it.
So the people shouted with the when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted. Say shout it.
Shout
with
it.
A great shout. Say with a great shout.
With a great shout.
That the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Praise God. So when did the walls fall down? Before or after they shouted? See, if you're waiting for your victory, if you're waiting for them walls that are surrounding you, that are blocking you from getting your blessing to fall down before you shout, them walls gonna stay up for a long time, praise God.
Amen.
If you want them walls to fall down, you want the devil to get out of your way, if you want that promotion, you want that blessing, you want that ministry God has called you to do, you want to see the manifestation of all that you've been believing God for, then it's time to start praying and time to start shouting, praise God.
Amen.
Say shout.
Shout.
Say shout.
Shout.
Now Hebrews 11 chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, talks about that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you go down to verse 30, it says that what these people did, they did by faith in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now turn with me to Psalm 47. Show you a couple more scriptures. Are you learning anything?
Yes.
Glory to God. Are you going to put it into practice?
Amen.
Especially you sophisticated folks who just, well, you know, I'm just a quiet, timid person. Yeah, so was I. I was dignified just like you until I learned that if I don't start shouting, I don't get my blessing. Praise God. Psalm 47, verse 1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Say shout.
Shout.
You are not only to shout, you're not only to scream, but you are to shout with the voice of triumph. In other words, when I shout, I am claiming I am victorious. I am triumphant in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm shouting. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So you shout because you want to see them walls fall down. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, he says, "Have faith in God. For if you believe in your heart and you do not doubt, but you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, ye shall have whatsoever ye say." And then he goes on to say that, "And when ye stand praying, believe that ye receive those things, and ye shall have them." Praise God.
Amen.
See, we don't follow the order. We wait until we see those things, and then we believe. How much faith does it take for me to believe that this chair is here? Actually, rather than take zero. Because yeah, I see it. It don't take no faith. Now, you know what takes faith? Is when Tommy says, "Pastor, I'm going to bring you a chair tomorrow." I don't see the chair. But now I have to trust in Tommy's integrity. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's when I'm applying faith. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. See, if God says, "I'm going to do this for you," and you don't see it, that's when faith becomes an operation. And that's when you're saying, "Okay, God said he's going to do it. I believe it. And for me, that settles it." Praise God.
Amen.
And so we need to understand the order of faith. If we want God to bless us, then we need to believe first. And then we believe and we express it by our words. And our words have to be more enthusiastic than, "I believe, I receive in Jesus' name. I believe, I receive it."
No, we got the shot. I believe I receive it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, don't take all that. Well, then I'm going to do it and see what happens to you. Praise Jesus. It takes all that for me. I used to think it didn't take all that, too. I used to say, well, you know, I'm the cool kind of guy, you know. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. I don't act like that. No, baby, I've learned to swallow my pride. It's non-fattening. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's sugar-free. My pride don't come with any calories. I swallow it. And I've learned to shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it's the highest praise. And I shout with the voice of triumph. Now, I'm going to show you one more thing before we close out. I'm going to show you why this just may not work for you. Now, I got to give you the whole roll, praise God.
Amen.
See, many times preachers preach this stuff, they only want to preach you the good part.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to talk about what may be causing you to hinder it. And that's what puts a lot of people in a lot of trouble. And then they get discouraged because they say, that faith stuff don't work for me. Oh, it can work for you. But you got to do the right thing. But I'm going to show you why it may not work for you. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. We'll deal with this one more thing and then we'll pray and go home. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Well, y'all will go home. I can't go home. I got an appointment. I got to go somewhere to another church, but y'all can go home. Praise God. Or work, or to work, wherever you're going. 1 Samuel chapter 4. I want y'all to know that God is opening doors for this ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I had the pastor call me last night, and you know, preachers now, they want to save themselves money trying to fly you or pay for your hotel and all that stuff. He asked me to preach to their church through Skype. He'll put it up on the screen.
Amen.
Praise God. And not only that, but sometimes they said that he wants his church to tune into our services.
Amen.
So in that, so. And that was, God was dealing with me about several months ago about buying a camera, and I procrastinated. And we know that delayed obedience is disobedience. And so as soon as I got off the phone with that pastor, the Lord told me, I told you to buy the camera. Now get on it. So right away, I got to Amazon and bought the camera. So we, God is opening doors. We're selling, you know, books. We don't go a month without selling the books. Praise God.
Amen.
God is wonderful. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Let's look at verse 5. It says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp. Oh, well, let me give y'all some background so y'all understand. Israel had been in sin. This is, you know, this is past the time of the judges, maybe about 100 more years since they've been out of the Exodus. Been out in the wilderness. And Eli, who was the high priest at the time, his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they were the pastors of the church in Israel. And the Bible says they were sleeping with the women in the church.
Oh.
Mm, y'all thought that was just happening in these days. Oh, that was, the pastors was doing that even back then. So, that ain't happening with Pastor Troy, praise God. I said amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Ladies, this is the only woman I'm sleeping with. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And fellas, too. In this day and age, you guys got to tell the guys. Ain't that a shame? You got to even tell the guys. Guys, I ain't sleeping with y'all. It's only my wife. Amen. Well, so. The pastors was leading the whole Israel into sin. And so they caused God a lot of embarrassment. And so God, when they did that, God delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. And so then they tried to go to war with the Philistines, and the Philistines waxed them. And so they figured, well, since the Philistines keep beating us up, let's take the tabernacle, the Ark of God, with us, and we will win. And see, it would be if they had true faith in God.
It didn't matter where the tabernacle.
Even if they had true faith in God and they took the tabernacle, they would have seen it as simply taking God with them. But that tabernacle to them was nothing more than a lucky rabbit's foot. Praise God. That's what some of y'all gotta understand. I don't know who these people who carry around these lucky rabbit's foot. If that brought you luck, then why doesn't the rabbit still have it? You need to ask yourself that. Why has it been cut off that rabbit? If you carrying it around, and you talking about this is my lucky rabbit's foot. Lord have mercy. But anyway, verse 5, it says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted. Say shouted.
Shouted.
Oh, and look at this. They shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth this, the noise of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And when the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. But then one of their leaders said, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the verse 10 goes on to say, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. That's pretty rough, ain't it? Now, they followed the principles, didn't they? They followed all, they did. They looked at the book of Joshua. They saw Joshua shouted with a great shout. And they said, hey, let's do that too. But they missed one step. They did not repent of their sin. They did not stop sinning. They thought that God would continue to work on their behalf no matter what you do. And that's what happens even today in the so-called grace message that's being promoted around the internet and television and stuff, where people tell you that it doesn't matter how you live, God will still bless you. One guy debated with me on Twitter one time. I don't usually debate with people, but this guy got on my nerves. He sat there talking about that, well, you don't have to forgive people in order for God to heal you. That's a lie. If you are in unforgiveness, God is not going to do anything for you except turn you over to the tormentors. Amen? Mm-hmm. You cannot sit there and live in sin and then say, oh, glory to God, I got the victory. No, God can't do anything for you. Let me share with you an illustration. When I was in South Korea, assigned back in 1985, 86, I was assigned to South Korea. There's South Korea, and then on the border, there's North Korea. North Korea is the communist country. As long as I stayed in South Korea, I was under the protection of not only the South Korean government, but of the United States government, praise God. Anybody that tried to come over from North Korea to South Korea to come get me, they had to deal with the full force of the American government and the American military. Now, if I decide to go out to the border and play around, I can do one of these things one day, and then the North Koreans can grab me and capture me, praise God. And I can say, oh, the American government's going to come and get you. No. You blew it. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening to many of y'all when y'all continue to sin and live in sin. You jumping over to Satan's border, into Satan's kingdom, and Satan has you captured. And all your shouting, all your praying,
poison is going to do you no good. Praise God. Amen. The first step for you is to say, God, forgive me. And confess your sin. Tell him what you did. Get it out so God can forgive you and say, okay, now my child. God will send in the rescue forces and get you out of Satan's domain. Praise God. Amen. And bring you back into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you can shout. Then you can say, hallelujah, for the Lord your God Almighty reigns. Praise God.
Amen.
So learn to shout. But learn to live in holiness. Hallelujah. Keep short accounts with God. Don't play around with sin. Don't jump from the border and then jump back. Stay over here. The only time you ever try to go over to the border is to rescue somebody from over there, from going in there. Praise God. Amen. You know, if I was at the border in North Korea and one of my friends tried to walk over there, I would grab him quickly and say, don't go over that border. You won't die, boy. Amen.
Amen.
So you and I need to stay on the border of the kingdom of God and not keep falling into sin, especially sexual sin, lasciviousness, stealing, lying, the gossiping. Praise God.
Amen.
All the things we think ain't no big thing when we're talking about somebody. See, when you gossip, you're prideful. You're telling somebody that I'm better than that person. As if you ain't got no issues going on in your own life. Praise God.
Amen.
So, if you want this principle to work for you, live a holy life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may make mistakes. Ask God to forgive you immediately. It's not that you won't, you have not reached that pinnacle of perfection. I haven't reached there yet, but I'm a lot better than I was 30 years ago. Hallelujah. And I make my mind up that I don't want to do, even if I do slip sometimes, I've made up my mind, I don't want to slip. And so when I do, I quickly repent and turn away from it. You got to learn to do that as well, glory to God. We're all striving. We're all learning. We're all growing. But make the effort to do it. Don't just live comfortably in sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But most of all, when you believe in God for something, God wants to bless you. He wants to do it for you. But you gotta learn to shout. Shouting knocks the devil out of the way. When you start shouting, the devil says, oh God, he starts fleeing. Praise God.
Amen.
You see what happened when those guys, those Philistines got scared. Because they started hearing the shouts. That's what the devil's gonna do. He starts getting scared. But see what happens is when the devil knows you in sin, he knows he's got you, and he's like, shout all you want.
Yeah.
Only thing is, yeah, exactly. The only thing that's gonna happen is your voice is gonna get hoarse. You'll lose your voice. You'll get laryngitis. But when you're serving God, you can shout and the walls will come tumbling down for you. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Stand to your feet. Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, then we're going to practice a little bit. I want you to think of the thing that you are. We all got things that we're asking God for. I know for me, I am believing God for our church band to get fixed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little chunk of money. I ain't asking for y'all donations. I'm just gonna ask y'all to believe with me. Praise God.
Amen.
God has never failed to provide for this ministry, and He will never cease to fail. But you need to think about what you are believing God for. What is it that you want God for you to do? So take a moment and really think about it. Sometimes the problem with many of us is we don't really think about what is it that I really want from God. That's why you don't act in faith, because you don't think about it. You're just hoping God to do this or do that. But give some thought to it. Take a moment. Now, if you have not ever asked God to do this thing on your behalf, won't you ask him to do it right now? If you really believe that God will do it for you, ask him to do it right now.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's best to even find scripture. But if you know that this is a holy thing, you're not asking God to give you somebody else's husband or wife,
or somebody else's car, then usually it's nothing bad. So just ask God to do it for you. It doesn't take long. You don't need an elaborate prayer. Just ask Him. Father, I thank You for providing us with the finances for getting the church van inspected and repaired in the name of Jesus. Now, if you truly believe that God has done this, answered your prayer, and He's going to work on your behalf, begin to thank Him with a shout. Not no timid little, thank you, Jesus. No, begin to shout. 1, 2, 3. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Thank You, Lord Jesus!
Thank You!
Hallelujah! Thank You, Father God, for providing me with the finances I need for this van in the name of Jesus! Hallelujah! That was good.
Yeah.
Didn't that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Sometimes you got to just get, I think that's one way God wants you to get the stress out. Instead
thank
of you screaming
you.
At people,
thank you. Thank you.
Scream at the Lord.
I want for God to do for me, He's doing it.
Ah, let's rejoice with mother.
My children, they're taking care of me. Nothing worried me. Why I want to do it for me, I sleep going my little apartment, they making it for me. What I all I want, and God doing it for me.
Woo! Woo! Glory to God!
Thank you.
Woo!
I want for you to make me to live long to enjoy my children.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Woo!
All right, all right.
We serve a very big God, oh, He's always by my side. A very big God, oh, by my side. We have a very big God, oh, He's always by my side.